Welcome to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church featuring Pastor Gary Santino. We hope you enjoy these messages. You can find out more information about us at www.fbcenfield.com. You can find us on Facebook, and we pray that this message will be a blessing to you. God bless.
Peter chapter 3, we're going to be talking about why is God waiting. Now, I noticed in the comments that, Lori, I want that rhubarb cinnamon recipe because I have rhubarb almost ready in my garden. And so looking forward to that. In fact, you said they're coming out of the oven. Maybe we'll be down there to get some. But keeping social distancing, of course. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're talking about, we've been talking about, is this it? Is this the last days? Are we in the end times? And the answer is we're closer than we've ever been. And the signs, we looked at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 last week, and there were three words that I used to describe the last time, the last times. The first one is the Antichrist, the coming of the evil one. Then the second word I used was conspiracy. There are conspiracy theories all over the place about this COVID-19. But there is a conspirator, Satan, the god of this world, and he is bringing everything together against God and try to defeat God, which he cannot. And then the third word I used last week to describe the last times was delusions, and God will send them strong delusions. And today, people are willing to believe a lie more than the truth. And as we look at social media and everything today, we're not sure what the truth is. But we know one thing is true. God's word is true. And so there's always been those that question the second coming. We've been talking about the second coming, and Christians for years have been talking about the second coming. You've probably seen on TV, there's been scenes in movies where somebody will hold up a sign, Jesus is coming, repent. And sometimes we've gone cold to that. We think, okay, there they go, those Christians again. You know, it's been 2,000 years, over 2,000 years. And Jesus, when he went up to heaven, said, the angel said, he's coming again in like manner. Paul talked about it. Peter talked about it. John talked about that Jesus Christ will visibly come again. And so even in Peter's day, Peter is writing to these believers, and notice verse 1 of chapter 3 says this, "This is now the second letter I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them I am stirring up your sincere minds by way of reminder." So he's reminding them. Think about that. Even in Peter's day, he's reminding them about the second coming. Notice verse 2. "That you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through the apostles." And so the second coming of God, they in the Old Testament, they were looking for the coming of the Messiah. They didn't understand that Jesus would come and die on the cross. But here he's saying it was talked about in the Old Testament. We're still looking forward to it. Verse 3, "Knowing this first of all," now notice what it says, "that scoffers or mockers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires." And so people will come and they will mock the second coming of Christ, the person of Christ, the deity of Christ, the fact that he is God. They will be mocking that. And notice what it says. And notice the last part of verse 3. "Following their own sinful desires." I've said many times that unbelief is more of a choice because we don't want to, we don't like the implications. We don't want a God telling us what to do. We want to do whatever we want to do. We don't want anybody telling us what is right or wrong. Notice verse 4. "They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." And so he's talking about these scoffers. And they say, all right, everything's the same. Where is this Jesus you're talking about? And for years, in movies and in society, people have predicted Jesus is coming, and maybe we've grown callous, and maybe we thought, okay, well, the signs are here, but is he really coming? Is this really true? And then verse 7, for this they willingly forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. And so they willingly will put it out of their mind. So here they're talking, these mockers, these scoffers, these deniers are going to be talking about that in the last day, Jesus isn't going to come. This is just fiction. And in today's day, we have had some very strong mockers. Some very strong, they call them the new atheists. There's a picture of these four horsemen, Sam Harris, Dawkins, and two others, that they have said some very pertinent declarations against the person of God. Notice what Sam Harris said this at one time. He said, it is time that we admit that faith is nothing more than a license religious people give one another to keep believing when reason fails. While believing strongly without evidence is considered a mark of madness or stupidity, in any other area of our lives, faith in God still holds immense prestige in our society. So he's mocking belief in God. Dawkins said in the God Delusion, the 19th century is the last time when it was possible to educate a person to admit to believing in miracles like the virgin birth without embarrassment. So here are some mockers today. Daniel Dennett said this, the kindly God who lovingly fashioned each and every one of us, all creatures great and small, and sprinkled the sky with shining stars for our delight, that God is, like Santa Claus, a myth of childhood, not anything a sane and undiluted adult could literally believe in. That God must either be turned into a symbol for something less concrete or abandoned altogether. And then Victor Stenger said this, many people are good, but they are not good because of religion. They are good in spite of religion. And so here are people today, they're not only not believing God, they're not only disobeying God, they're raising their fists up to God and saying, if you're God, strike me down. If you're really God, I'm going to blaspheme you and I'm going to say everything wrong and I'm going to live how I want. And if you're really God, then God, prove it to me. Kill me right now. And if I was God, I might take the challenge. I might try to fulfill that challenge. And so the question is, if Jesus is coming back, if these are the last days, and if people are mocking God, why is God waiting? What is he waiting for? Why doesn't he just come back and straighten everything out, bring justice to the world, because the world is crying out to justice, bring healing to the world? Why doesn't he just come back? What is God waiting for? If God, you're there, if you're real, why don't you show us? And Peter answers the question in this text. Notice verse 9. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. But notice what it says. But he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. Notice it doesn't say he's not willing that the elect will perish. He says he's not willing that any person, any one person should perish. In other words, that any person should die without coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not willing that any should perish, he said, but all should come to repentance. Notice verse 15. As Peter concludes this chapter, he says, in considering that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Every day God waits, it gives more people an opportunity to come to salvation. And so the answer is, why is God waiting? He's waiting for you to be saved. That's what he's waiting for. He is waiting for you to be saved. He has given you an opportunity, even though you've heard the gospel, rejected the gospel, ran from the gospel, stopped your ears to the gospel. God in his mercy is still waiting for Sam Harris and still waiting for some of these people. Charles Dawkins died, but some of these other men, I'm not sure if they're still alive, but any person that mocks God, God is not intimidated. He would rather you be saved. He would rather you repent. He would rather you turn around. He takes, the Bible says that God takes no delight in the death of the wicked. God does not rejoice when the wicked dies. In fact, in Luke it says, there's great joy in the presence of the angel when what? One, you can write it in the comments, when one sinner repents. Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep. And he goes and he says, he leaves the 99 and goes and looks for that one. And when he finds the one, there's great rejoicing. That's what God is excited about. He wants you to be saved. And that's why God is waiting. And if you noticed in verses 5, notice what it said in verse 5. It says, for they willingly forget that by what? The word of God, the heavens were of old. And then if you go down in verse 7, he says, but the heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same what? Word. We think that we're going to blow ourselves up. We're going to pollute the planet. That the apocalypse is going to be caused by man. I want to say this morning, if it was left to us, we would have blown ourselves up long ago. Think about this. 1945 was the first atomic bomb. Since then, it's almost 80 years, we haven't had another atomic bomb. To me, that's it. That's amazing that we haven't blown ourselves up, especially how evil men can be and how much we like to destroy each other. Something is keeping that. We talked about that last week. You remember that God is not going to let it happen till he's going to let go and the church is going to be taken and he's going to let man have his own way and then he will destroy himself. Nothing's going to happen till God says it'll happen. And so we see here the word of God is keeping this all going. In fact, it says in Colossians that not only was the world made through Jesus, it says the world is kept by Jesus, kept by the power of God. And so God is allowing you right now to live. He may have caused this COVID-19 virus so you would be home right now listening to this message so that you could be saved. He may have stopped you. Maybe you wouldn't be in church. Maybe you'd be out at the beach or out fishing or doing something. God has slowed everything down. And maybe you're thinking about your job. And maybe you're thinking about your future. And maybe you're a little scared right now about catching this virus. And realizing that you're a lot more vulnerable than you thought you are. And God is doing all this because he wants you to be saved today. Not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And then, you know, God doesn't have a Fitbit. God doesn't have an iWatch. He doesn't even have a Rolex. Notice verse 8. But beloved, do not forget one thing. That with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So we talk about 2,000 years being a long time. According to God's watch, it's 2 days. Just 2 days. And so we think somebody mocks God for 80 years, and we think that's a long time. That's not a long time. I should have figured that out, how many seconds or minutes that is in God's timing. But one day, so he's telling us that God has plenty of time. God's not outside the house honking his horn, waiting for his family to be ready. He has plenty of time. He has plenty of time. He wants everybody to be saved, but he wants everybody to be saved because he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Notice verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Think about the days of Noah. Days of Noah. How many people were saved? How many? There's a few here. Anybody can answer? There were eight. Okay, eight people were saved. The Bible says Noah preached 120 years. And he warned them and told them, when they closed up the ark, nobody else was saved. Nobody else was saved. Verse 12 says, on that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away with flames. The COVID-19 survival rate, 0.5%. It's changing every day. The survival rate for the second coming, if you don't know Jesus, is zero. Zero. Nobody will survive. Only those who have accepted Christ will survive. The survival rate for the second coming of Jesus is zero. There'll be no second chance. There's a second chance now, but the coming of Jesus will be a glorious event for some. It will be a horrific event for others. Therefore, God is patient and waiting. And why he is waiting? Because he knows and he grieves how horrific this destruction will be, and he wants you to escape it. And so what we're seeing today, I was talking to a young man this morning in England, and he was asking me, I want a response. What's the answer? And my response was, this is a warm up. This is a warning. This is an attention getter. God is getting our attention and saying, hey, listen, the second coming is going to be here soon. And if you notice back on, in verse 10, he said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief. And as we see everything going on today, you know what's going to happen? It's going to get really bad. And then the man of sin is going to come and he's going to make peace. And we're going to think everything's okay. We're going to look to him. And we're going to think he can solve our problems. And I can just feel the world ready for somebody. They want somebody. Come and help me. Come and save me. They want some man. This man is going to come and he's going to bring the answer. And he's going to have signs and he's going to have wonders and he's going to do all these great things. And he's going to bring peace. And it's going to be just the beginning of destruction. Because only the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, can give us peace. So why did Peter write these things to us? He wrote these things to tell us, hey, second coming is coming. Second coming of Jesus is going to be here. And I want you to know that he is waiting because he wants more people to be saved. And so, three applications for us this morning from this text. And the first one is, instead of anger, compassion. Now, what do I mean by this? We can get, sometimes, as Christians, we can become self-righteous and we can look our nose down on other people. We can think, all right, God saved me because I'm pretty good. No, God saved you because Jesus died on the cross. God saved you because of the mercy of Jesus Christ. God didn't save you because you were so good. And sometimes even in the churches, we can forget those around us. And sin can be very dirty. And people that are captive to sin can have great problems. And sometimes we can become callous. If you remember when Jesus was with the apostles and he went into Samaria, and we talked about this passage in the Old Testament on Wednesday night a few weeks ago, when Elijah called down fire from heaven and destroyed the captain and his 50 soldiers. And when the Samaritans refused to let Jesus pass through Samaria, the disciples asked Jesus, hey, let's call fire down from heaven. And Jesus said, you have the wrong spirit. A lot of times we have the wrong spirit as Christians. We have the wrong spirit where we don't have compassion. We don't like to get our hands dirty. We don't like to get too involved in people. And this is really troubling about what's happening right now, because we go into stores and people are looking at you like you're the enemy. Do you have the virus? Do you have your mask? Did you spray yourself down with Lysol? And in the back of your mind, you don't want to think that. And you go in and you look around. You're aligned with people. And some of, most of them are pretty friendly, but some of them, they're looking at you. And so we've had this thing where this attitude is developed in society where people become the enemy. No, God's not looking at people as the enemy. He wants to save you. And that sometimes that person that you know that is grumpy, that is just, you think they will never come to Christ, you just never know the power of the gospel. Keep loving them. Keep having compassion. So God wants us to have compassion. He wants us to be like Jesus. Jesus went. He didn't have a house to sleep in. He didn't have anything to his name, no possessions, but he went around from village to village preaching the gospel, looking for that one. So instead of anger, compassion. And then the second application, instead of assimilation, separation. Notice verse 11, if you will, here in 2 Peter. He says this, therefore. Okay, so what are we talking about? Therefore, we talked about second coming. We're talking about his coming. We're talking the Lord wants to save people. We're talking the fiery flames, a new heaven and a new earth. He says, therefore, since all these things will be what? Dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness? So what does holy mean? It means separated. It means different. And when I use the word separation, for some of us that gives a little bit of a negative context, because sometimes in churches we define separation in things that don't matter. But what he's really talking to us about is that we need to be Christ-like. We need to be transformed, Romans 12, not conformed to this world. We need to be made different. And so he's telling us to be transformed. He says, since all these things are going to be dissolved, what kind of people should you be? You guys should be separate. You should be pure. Today, we're very concerned today about having our food pure. So you're willing to pay extra money, for instance, to get pure honey. You're going to the store, you're going to pay $5 more or double the price or triple the price when you can buy pure honey. And why is that? Because you've understood, because you've read up and you've been educated that some of the stuff they used to sell that they said honey or maple syrup or whatever had a little bit of maple syrup or a little bit of honey. We used to make maple syrup in Romania because we couldn't get it. And you know what we would make it out of? We would make it out of maple extract. 1 tablespoon of maple extract, water, and a lot of sugar. And it thickened up and it tasted like maple syrup, but it wasn't pure maple syrup. I grew up in Maine. I used to boil my own maple syrup. And I know what pure maple syrup is. And so we want, in our society, things that are pure. Why don't we want that as Christians? He says, what manner of Christians you guys should be? You guys should be pure Christians. You should be holy. Think about this. All this stuff, all this junk in the world is going to perish. You need to be holy Christians. What does that mean? We need to be separate. We need to be, one example would be, because like I said, in our, some of our minds, our backgrounds, we think of separation as external things. But how about if somebody wrongs you? How about if somebody does something that offends you or hurts you or says something evil about you? And that our reaction, our human reaction and our cultural reaction is to become Rambo and seek revenge. But what does the Bible say? Bible says, revenge is mine. The Bible says, overcome evil with good. So a way of being holy and separate is trying to get revenge. It's trying to overcome evil with good. Do what God says. That's what it means to be separate. So first of all, instead of anger, compassion, instead of assimilation, becoming like the world, separation, and then finally, instead of settling, traveling. My girls are like this, traveling, okay? 2 Peter 3:14, what does it say? Therefore, beloved, looking forward to the Disney vacation, not happening right now. No Disney vacations happen right now. Hope you didn't have tickets. No cruise line ships happening right now. No skiing, but there's no snow. But he says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. What is he talking about? He's talking about the new heaven and the new earth. He's talking about eternal life. He's talking about fellowship with Jesus. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace without spot and blameless. We like to use the term settle down. And I'm thankful this week when some of you come back to church, you will see our new offices. And it was awesome last night to finally settle down. For the last 2 weeks, my office has been in flux. So it's been here, it's been in the back room, it's been on my laptop. And so last night was awesome to actually sit down and finally settle down. And we like to settle down. But when we think of settling down, sometimes we settle down in this world. We think everything of value and everything of importance we're going to find just in this world. But we're not. We need to have the attitude of traveling. The Bible talks about we're pilgrims. In other words, we're traveling all the time. We're always going. And my kids grew up as missionaries, so they grew up traveling. And they're like, oh, it's been 6 months since I've been on a plane. I'm ready to go. Ready to get going, get moving, traveling. But that's the attitude we have to have. Wait a minute, we're going to be with Jesus. We got better things. The best thing in this world, the most luxurious car, the most comfortable house, the coolest pool, the latest iPhone. You know where it's all going to end up? It's going to be burnt. Or before Jesus comes, it's going to be in the junkyard. It's all temporary. what is eternal is what we have in Christ. And so he says, therefore, beloved, he's coming. Jesus is coming. You need to be looking forward to it. Don't get settled down in this world. Don't get so settled in this world that you can't have compassion on other people. Don't get so settled in this world that you assimilate to the worldly culture and attitudes and sinful desires that you're not separated from God. He says that you may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. He promises a crown to all those that what? Love his appearing. Those that love his appearing are the ones that are at the window waiting. They're at the window. They're waiting and they're looking for Jesus to come. Why hasn't Jesus come yet? He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you this morning. He's waiting for you to come to faith in Jesus. Maybe this morning, I'll ask you the question. If Jesus would come today, in the moment of twinkling an eye, if the second coming came now, would he bring you to himself? Are you his? Are you a child of God? Have you been born again? Do you know him? The Bible says this. He's not slack concerning his promises, but's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The Bible says, if we'll call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved. Maybe you just need to bow your head and pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know you saved me. I know you died for me. I know you rose again. Lord, I turn from my sins. Forgive me my sins. I call upon your name to save my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you need to pray that prayer right now. Maybe you just need to write us in a private message that I want to receive Christ. I prayed that prayer. We'll help you grow, send you some material, have a Zoom meeting with you. He's waiting for you. Christian, he's waiting for you. This COVID-19, it's a wake-up call for the church because the church is too assimilated and too settled in this culture. We need to get out of our comfort zone and realize there's people all around us. Many, many, many never heard the gospel. We were somewhere a while ago talking with a lady. My wife started explaining the Bible. Never heard of John 3:16. Never read the Bible. There's people like that everywhere. I was talking to Jason last night, the men's meeting, and there's about 5 teenagers that want to get baptized. Many of those, when they came to church, never heard of the gospel. That's the power of God. These are exciting times we live in. People are waiting. Christians, what are you doing? Are you worried about your 401k? Are you worried about your health? Or are you going to use this time to get out of your comfort zone? God is stirring the water. And remember, Jesus is coming. Look up. Look out the window. It may not be today. God has a different watch, but he's coming soon. God, thank you for joining us today for this live stream and for this church service. Don't forget to join us Wednesday, 7:30, right here on Facebook, YouTube, on our webpage. And any comments, any requests, prayer requests, write in the comments, write us a message. God cares and loves you this morning. And he's not doing anything to harm you. He's doing and working in your lives because he wants you to be saved. God bless you. Have a great day.